Good evening, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. And we are a program that talks typically about the Akashic Records and what it can do for you in your life, answer your questions about the Akashic Records. But tonight we have a wonderful guest with us. And although I do want to answer your questions about the Akashic Records, we're going to hold those questions for this evening. We want you to call in and ask your questions of our guest. And the other piece, and I'm going to introduce her in just a minute, however, if you do have questions that you would like me to cover about the Akashic Records, you can certainly email them to me at info, at akashicwisdom, that's akashicwisdom.com. And we will cover those questions either personally or we will cover them on the air next week. But for tonight, I would like to welcome Jalila Starr. Hi, Jalila.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Great.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. And we want you all to understand that Jalila has a very important message. And it's about 2012, and we're going to be talking about a few things. But before we do that, Jalila, I'd just like you to explain, if you would, and just kind of give the folks a little bit of a overview of who you are and where you've come from and how this all came about with the council, and it's a Nibiruan council. Am I saying that right?
Well, that's one way of pronouncing it. The Nibiruans call it Nibiru.
Nibiru, okay. Well, I want to say it right. And so you've had I know that your story is an intricate one, but if you could give a thumbnail sketch so that people have a little bit of background on you, and then they can go to your website, too, to kind of get a background. But I'm going to give you the floor and let you just explain a little bit about who you are and what you're doing, and then I'm going to ask you some questions about what's coming up, and we'll just have a great conversation. How about that?
That sounds great.
Okay, so you're on.
Okay. Well, who am I? Well, I'm a 51-year-old single mom who, back in 1992, I experienced what they call a walk-in.
Okay.
And before that, I was an entrepreneur. I had my business. I had a thriving new business. I was teaching people how to network to build a business. And I was in the business community, had no interest in anything spiritual, and but my life was falling apart. It had begun happening like a few months before, and over about a 6.5 month period, it's like everything in my life just seemed to fall apart, except for the finances. They were doing fine. But my personal life was falling apart with one major trauma or loss after another. And then in early 1993, I had a dream, and in this dream, this being came to me, introduced himself, and said we had work to do together. And so when I woke up from that dream, I thought I'd been possessed. I didn't know what it was because I came out of fundamentalist religious, you know.
So just let me just understand this correctly. What you're saying is that at this point you were kind of like a regular, everyday conservative,
everyday
huh?
Person. Yeah, and, you know, I was raising a kid and running a business and really didn't have any interest in anything spiritual. So but I had been knocked to my knees. And when this being came to me and said, you know, I'm here to help you, at first I wasn't willing to listen, but then when I you know how synchronicity happens, I went to work and I had just hired a new lady to help me, and she says, you know, I just got the name of this psychic the other day. You might want to call her. I was desperate, so I called her. Long story short, she said, this is a very powerful master, and he is here to help you, and if you listen to him, it will change your life. And I was at a place in my life where I needed help, and so I listened, and he began to help me. And then over the next few years, he began to slowly reveal more of who he was, until eventually I was able, he told me, you know, about his galactic connections and who he really was, and who I really was, and it's like, oh, wow. And then by 1996, at the end of 1996, they launched the mission that they came to Earth to help, that I was sent to Earth to help with. And here we are 10 years later, and that mission is complete. And
what was that mission?
The mission, they called it Project Earth Shift, and it was the Nibiruans' work to help prepare humanity and the earth for the ascension process. And their work mainly consisted of creating new, or assisting humanity in creating new electromagnetic grids around the planet that are, that would act as stair steps, each one up a little bit higher than the next, because an electromagnetic grid is an infrastructure for a new level of consciousness, and a new level of consciousness is a dimension.
Uh-huh.
And then to fill it with templates or blueprints to, when certain events would come along in the future that they would, they could see were coming, it would give humanity a chance to make a different choice, because we would, we would go ahead of time and do what we call grid work and timeline work to, we go to that location where that event was to be played out, and we would open up the records, so to speak, the Akashic records, on a galactic level, because those areas were tied to ancient events that humanity is just repeating. That's the basis of all the prophecies. It's the ancient things that we're repeating over and over until we finally work them out. And we would seed a new choice based on compassion rather than revenge or whatever we've done in the past. And so that their work was to create the templates and the grids, to create the grids and then create the templates to possibly help eliminate or alter these events. And they would only work on the ones that they felt had a, like, 85% or higher probability of occurring. Some they saw that we could possibly change without it. Some absolutely needed some help. And if we didn't do those, then, you know, we might end up going in a direction we don't really want to go. And their whole goal at the time was 2012, at the end of the Mayan calendar, you know, when the planet crosses the galactic equator, all bets are off. Whatever we carry with us across the galactic equator is what we're going to manifest on the other side. So,
slow down on that one.
Huh? Yeah.
Slow down and say that slow so they can hear that.
Which part?
The part about whatever you don't get rid of, basically what you said, by 2012 you'll take the other side.
Right.
Yeah, because we're going to talk a little bit more about that as our hour continues, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
So their big thing was to help humanity begin to do emotional clearing.
Okay.
And they felt, you know, and they say that they are the parent race of Earth. You know, they were the ancient Sumerians, the ancient gods of the Bible who created humanity. And I know there's all kinds of things out there about why they created humanity. But there is another, I mean, from their perspective, it's a little bit different than what, you know, what other people would say. But they're ready to graduate us. You know, it's like we're like the kids that they gave birth to, and they're ready to graduate us so that we can stand on our own and be, not only just stand on our own, but be a race that can be the seed race for a new type of being that would inhabit the galaxy, a being that can achieve compassion and create peace.
Are there beings like that already in the galaxy?
Very few.
Uh-huh.
Not like what we're going to be. We're going to be we're like the melting pot of the galaxy. And we are the hope. They keep saying you are the hope of the universe because you have all the DNA from every species that's out here. And as above, so below, you know, there's a lot of war and strife on Earth. Well, there's a lot of war and strife out in the galaxy. And in the universe, and they said, you know, like with every polarity integration game, which is the game of integrating light and dark, you will reach these points where both sides have polarized out so far that, you know, they're either going to destroy themselves or find their way back to the middle. Well, we're at that point.
Uh-huh.
And that just happens to coincide with all these cycles that are ending at the same time. So this is like a really amazing time to be on Earth.
So the curiosity is with the concept of God that is out there, of God being a loving force or a loving energy, how do the Nuvurians, or I'm saying it wrong, how does this all fit like that?
Okay, I don't understand your question.
Well, in other words, like if the Nuvurians say that they came to Earth and created us, how is that in relationship to, let's say, the God Force? And there was like, what is their relationship to the God Force?
What is their relationship to the God Force? Well, they have their own beliefs in a higher a higher being, but they don't see it as a individual.
Right. Okay.
They see it as a force, like you said,
uh-huh.
source, all that is. And you know, they have they're much like us in the fact that they have their very you know, down to earth, so to speak, or down the Nibiru.
Yeah.
You know, everyday affairs, and then they have their spiritual side. And in their spiritual side, they believe in a force that connects us all.
And is Nibiru a planet, a galaxy, or what?
Well, Nibiru is many things. It's
okay.
actually an entourage of worlds, ships, a brown dwarf, battle stars, all of it together. Like the brown star or the brown dwarf is part of the Nibiru entourage. And then there is planets that, like any star, you know, that orbit it, and those, some of those are, well, they're all actually inhabited. But Nibiru is also, this entourage is also a location where, you know, you've heard of the Galactic Federation. Well, it's known by many names, but it's a federation of worlds that have come together to try to work out some form of peace, very technologically advanced worlds for the most part. And they can see what the future will hold if they don't learn to reconcile their differences. And so Nibiru is also a location where many of them have gathered or sent representatives to assist with Earth, because Earth is like the grand experiment. It's where it has a veil around it. And so they can send people from their worlds who have, you know, maybe it's worlds in conflict that have been in conflict for millions of years, and they're facing extinction because they can't work out their differences. Sort of like the Hatfields and the McCoys, but only add, you know, 4 or 5 million years
uh-huh.
of doing that. And they have to go to, they have to have a place where they can go where there is a veil of forgetfulness that will enable them to meet each other again, but without the memory, so that they could possibly work out their differences. And when they do, when people from two worlds or three worlds come down here and they meet as brothers and sisters or husbands and wives or whatever, that enables them, whatever they do is held in the records. Like every thought, every moment, you know that, is in
sure.
the records. So these other worlds can access those records and then figure out how to carry that into their onto their worlds to resolve some of their differences, because they, you know, they're so stuck in the hatred or the fighting that they can't possibly be objective anymore.
So
Earth is a grand experiment for healing a lot of drama and conflict that's going on out there.
So if what I'm hearing you say, then, based on what the records are trying to explain to me here while you're talking, is that a person can come down into body on planet Earth from another world that is filled with strife, or they have a feud going on with other beings, let's say, or from other locations.
Mm-hmm.
They come into forgetfulness, into a family or friendship or whatever, and so that some of their issues that they have with these people are actually their galactic vibrations that are actually being worked out. Wow, this is big. What the record keepers are saying is that even though one it looks like a brother and sister are fighting, and they're working out emotional differences as they grow to adulthood, that actually is translating from a vibrational point of view back to those other worlds. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at it from another perspective, you just look at it from, let's take Earth as an example, okay?
Okay.
Earth, there's very few nations on Earth that aren't in conflict with somebody else.
Right.
In fact, there's probably none.
Yeah, right.
Everybody's got their little, you know, thing going on.
Yep.
Well, take that to the galactic level, and those are worlds.
Okay.
And maybe galaxies of worlds, you know? And they're in conflict with other worlds and galaxies. But imagine they all have nuclear weapons. They
mm-hmm.
all have scalar weapons.
Yeah.
You know, so they're really armed to the teeth. you can imagine the kind of threat that would be.
I don't know what that is, but go ahead.
Yeah, so imagine all these nations have the same weaponry. So they all have the ability to blow each other out of the universe.
Uh-huh.
You've got a real problem on your hands.
Yeah.
At that point, a bunch of you get together, create your own little United Nations, only, you know, much more effective, and you say, we have to set aside a place in our galaxy where we can work out our differences. But we have to do it without the memory of what happened in the past. So say, like on Earth, we would set aside a country. And everybody would go there, and they would all forget who they were or why they were there. And then their spiritual guides would script their life blueprints, you know, with their help. And or they would all incarnate in that country. And before they incarnated, they would all script their roles. The galactic piece would be put in there, what they got to work out. And then they would incarnate and work those issues out. And then as they were working them out, those of us who sent them, you know, from our families, would observe. We could tap into the records and observe and then take that information back to begin to work through our differences.
Wow. That's very interesting. So, you know, there's many times I have said in my local self, you know, that we on Earth, you know, we are very egotistical humans thinking that this one little planet could be, you know, so important to so many of the people. But based on what you just said, it is that important.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people down here who know that they aren't from this Earth.
Oh, I talk to them all the time.
You and me both. So
yeah.
They know. So, you know, not everybody who is indigenous to this planet.
For sure.
And the Nibiruans, they seeded the human form. They helped create the human form, but it's not always inhabited by an indigenous Earth soul. It's also inhabited by souls who have been in other places in the galaxy, who are incarnating here from other places.
Right.
But the uniqueness of the human form is that it has a DNA that enables all these beings to incarnate here because it has the DNA they need to be able to hold this form.
Right.
You know, so it's got their DNA from their homeworld and the DNA from Earth, so they can hold the human form if they're not necessarily in a human form where they came from.
Well, the other thing, also my information is that it was also the Pleiadians that had a hand in seeding the Earth, as well as a couple other species. That's my understanding. Is that also your understanding, or how is what?
Well, let me expand on that a little bit. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
The Nibiruans are Pleiadian.
That's what I thought.
But okay. They are other species.
Yeah.
And okay. You know, when you read about what Zachariah Sitchin wrote, who wrote the Return of the 12th Planet.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen that are listening, Jamila has a wonderful reading list on her website. And that includes the names of these books. So if you don't get it the first time, you can go to her website and look under reading list for this information. So
yes.
Go ahead. And her website, we're going to give it to you, as well as it's on. If you go up to the BBS description of Akashic Wisdom, her website, her phone number, and everything is on there listed as my guest for this evening. So you have her contact information. So go ahead. I'm sorry, dear. Go ahead.
So the Nibiruans. You know, this is a Federation starship. And they have a Federation starship. They have representatives from all the races that are working here in the Grand Experiment, have sent people here as star-seeded children, starborns. They all have a field office on Nibiru because its orbit takes it through the majority of our galaxy. So it won't be that far away from many of the homeworlds of the people who are down here on Earth now. So, but the Nibiruans, you know, the information that is talked about in like Zachariah Sitchin's work, where he's read the tablets that were left in Mesopotamia, that's like trying to interpret a person's intention based on something that was written about them 400 years after they lived, and it was written by somebody else who had the information handed down to them. So you don't get the whole story. And so when Enki created humanity...
When who did?
Enki, E-N-K-I.
Okay.
When Enki created humanity, he didn't create... other races were involved in that process. DNA from other species were involved because the Nibiruans aren't one species. They are a multitude of species that work together. I mean, they began as representatives for this grand experiment. They, you know, as representatives who went to the planet, who lived there, but over time, they grew into nations themselves. So you have a huge world of many different species. They're not all human. In fact, very few of them are human. Of all different species that live on this one huge planet. So when the Anunnaki, or the people who came in the spaceships, came to Earth, they weren't all of one species. They were of many different species. And so when Enki created humanity, you know, you've got the inscriptions on some of the tablets of him with the little vials, you know, him and Herzog. They took DNA from some of the birthing goddesses, and the birthing goddesses were of different species. And that's why we ended up with all this DNA. We are the library of the DNA codes in the galaxy. That's why we're abducted so often and mined for our DNA, because whatever they're missing, anybody's missing out there, they come to the library. We are the library.
So we are the records of the universe.
We are the records.
Wow.
We hold. There used to be 12 galactic libraries, but those got disconnected through all the wars. But they have now been recompiled through us. We are the libraries that were once disconnected, because any time something happens, it's encoded in the records, and the records are also encoded in your DNA. So as these different races contributed their DNA to the creation of the human form, they brought that gave us access to the records. We became the records.
That's really interesting. That's fabulous. So your mission with Nibiruans, excuse me, was to assist them in creating grids around Earth.
Yeah.
And
an ascension staircase, they called it.
Ascension staircases, and how do we know that's done? How do we access them?
That's a great question. The ascension staircase, you know, it's there because. There's different levels of consciousness on Earth, and each one is like a stair step, you know, above the next one.
Uh-huh.
And as I wrote in The Mission Remembered, which was the book I wrote at the end of the mission, I talked about all the assignments that they gave me over 10 years to go here and go there and do this workshop and anchor this grid point. And they would always tell me, you are preparing for some big event, you know. So, like, for example, when we created the ninth dimension, let me back up. You've got the fourth dimensional grid, which was seated before I ever started my work, and that happened at harmonic convergence.
That's November 11th, 1990-something, right?
1987.
1987, right, okay.
Or is it not? No, harmonic concordance.
Concordance, yeah, right.
Whichever
okay.
The one came first. Okay, 1987.
Which one? There was a harmonic convergence and a concordance, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the first one in 1987 created a fourth-dimensional grid.
Okay.
Every grid is an infrastructure of a dimension, and it has a state of consciousness, and the state of consciousness has certain characteristics. So in that one, it sued the consciousness of reincarnation, angels, using candles, I mean, all the, you know, the basic spirituality. And look, and then you had the fifth-dimensional grid, which was created in 1996 with the advent of Windows 95, because it's an information age. The age of light is not about spiritual enlightenment as much. It is about that, but it's also about information. Information is light.
Right.
So the age of light is the age of information. When the age of information came along, we would have a grid or a way to share information so that all things would come to light. All information that had been withheld would be revealed, and that happened with the Internet. But it wasn't until Bill Gates created Windows 95 that we had ability to really enter into an information age, because it was something that we could all use.
Huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does.
Okay, so it really took off in 96. And then in 2001, we created another grid, and this was the ninth dimensional grid. And it was a quantum leap from the fifth dimensional grid. It was one that the Nibiruans did not expect to create a ninth dimensional grid that quickly. They expected to do a sixth and a seventh and an eighth, you know,
uh-huh.
work the way up to it. But they said, you know, we failed twice to in two other Earth experiments in the galaxy, which they're now the remnants of both planets NASA has found, where humanity has destroyed its worlds and its conflicts. This is the third time, you know, we all have the memories of those events in our DNA. So we have a chance if we just get the information out there about compassion, about integrating the light and the dark, you know, the need to do emotional clearing and all that. If we can get that out to enough people, we have a chance to, when this big event comes, to create a quantum leap in consciousness. And if we do that, then when we cross the galactic equator in 2012, we're going to have what we want. We're going to create the world that we wanted, that we desire. So that event was 9/11. And at 9/11, there was enough people who said, whoa, wait a minute, what did we do to cause this to happen? So they began
right.
to take responsibility.
Yep.
The other thing is they began to have compassion for the terrorists as much as the people who died in the towers.
Right.
And so in other words, it wasn't the old response of like Pearl Harbor, where we all said, yeah, let's go, you know, let's go kill them. Enough people stood back and asked these questions, which are the higher level or higher way of thinking, taking responsibility, asking what we might have done to co-create it, to where we created a whole new level, a whole new grid at that moment. They call it the compassion grid.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that is that never before in the history of mankind that I know of did humanity as a whole come together to pray worldwide. It's
yeah.
almost like the links. I mean, you could actually feel the links of prayer
mm-hmm.
that circled the globe.
Yeah,
when that happened.
That
when
was 9/11 not happened. The response.
Pardon me?
That was not the response that the powers that be wanted. They wanted us to do what we did at Pearl Harbor, which just take in whatever the media tells us is a bad guy and go after him.
Yeah, the powers that be, who would that be?
Well, the secret government, the global elite, the
oh,
ones
I
who
see.
Were attempting to enslave the planet. They,
huh.
you know, they wanted us to do what we did at Pearl Harbor, but we didn't.
Huh.
And that's the big thing. At that moment, we made a quantum leap in consciousness. And as the Nibiruans told me, the two times that we have tried to do this, you know, thing where we graduate at the end of this, sorry, of one of these grand cycles, we have failed both times because when the 9/11 event came along, we did the Pearl Harbor thing.
Yeah, right.
We couldn't get past it. This time we did.
That's very interesting.
And they were blown away. I mean, for like 3 or 4 months afterwards, all I could sense was confusion. And I was like really antsy. A lot of people were feeling it. It's because it threw everybody into chaos because they all had their plans for coming and rescuing their people off the earth, you know, because they thought it was going to go south the way it did before. And now everybody had to give up their backup plans and really believe that humanity was going to make it.
Huh.
They weren't going to destroy themselves this time.
Well, you know, I'm curious. You know, I get what you said before about the emotional clearing and how we come as individuals and nations to clear our old stuff. And so I guess that's the purpose of the planet, is for us to have these emotional conflicts for us for clearing. But the question I guess I also have is, when 2012 happens and we, let's say, establish, we've done our emotional clearing and we cross the galactic equator, as you mentioned. I'd like to get some definition on what that is again. But then we're, what planet will be there around for emotional clearing, or will it all be done by then?
Well, that's a really good question. That's what we're going to talk about in the 2012 workshop. See, you've got all these prophecies. It's going to be doom and gloom. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. You know, people are, it's only going to be a remnant of humanity left alive. The thing is, and what people don't realize, is that all those are true. It's going to be, like, very minimal, and it's also going to be also catastrophic. And that's because when you cross a galactic equator, out of the core of a galaxy, the core of the galaxy is a black hole. But they have now learned that black holes don't just suck in matter, they emit matter. And what's being emitted out of the galactic core and it's spreading across the galactic plane or equator is this very high pro-evolutionary energy. It's like a curtain, if you will. And our solar system, like every solar system, circles around the galaxy every 26,000 years. It's called the precession of the equinoxes. Every 13,000, you know, years, we cross the galactic equator. And at that point, we move through that field of energy. And, you know, the Mayans talk about, you know, you go into, 13,000 years of light and then 13,000 years of dark. Well, 13,000 years of dark, 13,000 years ago, we crossed the galactic equator, and that was the fall of Atlantis.
Okay.
So we moved into an age of darkness.
Okay.
But now our solar system is getting ready to cross the galactic equator on the other side, and now we're moving into 13,000 years of light. Okay. But what the significance is when our planet lines up with our sun, which then lines up with our with the sun of our constellation, and then the sun and then the galactic core, when everything just lines up perfectly, and you cross a galactic equator, and you move through that field of energy. Whatever dimensions of consciousness are on the planet at the time will instantly, or almost instantly be manifested into its own reality. So if you have a fourth dimensional grid and a third dimensional grid and a fifth and a ninth, you've got four versions of reality on the planet. So when you cross, it splits them into four parallel realities.
Four parallel universes.
Or planets.
Planets?
Yeah. Earth will have four parallel Earths. It'll go in as one with overlapping dimensions. It'll come out the other side with four separate, parallel realities. And the reason why is you know, time is speeding up.
Yeah.
The heartbeat of the planet, which is called the Schumann resonance, has increased from 7.8 hertz, which it was for over, I think, 400 years, and it's now around 9.2. Sometimes it goes up higher. So we experience the heartbeat of the planet increase in its rate as time speeding up. So we're actually going up a spiral. You know, ascension is a spiral upward. So we're moving upward, and as we move upward, we start to spin. We start to vibrate faster and faster because we're going up to a higher frequency. So when things vibrate faster, they move faster. Thought moves faster. Things manifest faster. For example, you notice how you think about something now. Within a very few days, you find it.
Yeah.
Like you want a red pair of shoes, next thing you know, you're at the store, there they are.
Yeah.
We're attracting the faster, the lag between cause and effect is much shorter. Used to be months or years, and now it's like days.
Yeah.
Because time is sped up. Well, you know, they always say that what you think and feel is what you manifest, right?
Right.
So the time between thinking and feeling it and manifesting it is very, very short now. Imagine when you go through a curtain of energy that's vibrating, like we're vibrating at 9.8. Imagine it vibrating at 1,562. The time between your thought and the manifestation of that thought will be seconds. So whatever you are carrying inside of you, as we've now learned through those movies, The Secret and all that, you're manifesting it. You're attracting it, whether you're consciously thinking it or not. Your feelings, your emotions, all that stuff, baggage you have, you're manifesting. Whether you're manifesting it as ill health or money problems or problems with your kids or your spouse, you're manifesting all this stuff inside of you. You just get, because it's electromagnetic, you keep attracting it out of the field, the electromagnetic field around us, or realities, what we call, you know, life. You attract it, it forms in your reality. So if you're carrying a bunch of resentment, guilt, shame, anger, bitterness, and remorse, and you cross that galactic equator, it ain't going to take weeks or months for it to manifest. It's going to manifest in days. Now imagine that on a collective level. And what do you think you're going to get?
Whoa.
Yeah. But if you've done your emotional clearing, and we're not all going to be squeaky clean when we cross the galactic equator, but we're going to be a much lighter. We're going to be much more compassionate. And it doesn't take everybody to do it, because you're going to split into four realities anyway. Everybody's going to manifest and end up on a version of, or they're going to manifest a reality that mirrors what's inside of them. So you're going to, if you've really done a lot of clearing, you're going to end up with a bunch of people who are at the same level, because you vibrate. It's like you sift the wheat from the chaff, as they said in the Revelations in the Bible. Well, what determines where you end up is your state of consciousness. You can't buy your way into a different one. You have to clear your way into the one you want to be.
So what happens with people who are doing their emotional clearing, but they're in a family who is not doing their emotional clearing, and so the next thing you know, come 2012, and you go over this galactic equator, and you've got these four different realities. Does that mean then what happens to people who are in one consciousness reality, and you're dealing with family who's in a different conscious reality? How is that different than what's happening now?
It's not going to be. It's just going to be more pronounced.
It's just going to be more pronounced.
You're not even going to resonate with them anymore. And that's already beginning to happen.
Yeah, and there's I have friends who have real problems with that.
Yeah, look at how many people that used to be in your life, but they're not there because you have no way to relate.
Yeah, sure.
That doesn't mean that you don't care about them. It's like you have nothing in common anymore.
Right, right.
It's like you're so totally in a different wavelength that you can't even... You're not even orbiting in the same circles anymore.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Well, it's like that.
Huh.
It's just going to be more pronounced. But, if you end up in the more evolved versions of Earth, which are going to have the least amount of problems, see, they're going to have virtually no, Earth changes. The ones who end up in the lower level, vibrating at the lower, they're going to have the real problems. So that's why I said all the prophecies. That some say nothing really bad is going to happen. Some say, oh, it's going to be horrific. They're both right. Because you're going to manifest your reality. And see, people are already starting to gather. They're starting to migrate into areas with people who resonate at their level.
Huh. Sure.
And so, there's like, new communities will be started, not like the, the ones we all thought were going to be and we tried to create in the 70s. But you're going to be drawn to people who resonate at your level. And so when you cross, you're going to be more likely to be around those people than you will people that are not resonating with you, because you'll already be drawn to a new area. So it's not going to be such a big deal, but you'll just notice that there's people that just don't even show up in your life anymore.
Sure. So talk about, if you wouldn't mind, then tell us about how to do this emotional clearing. That's what your workshop in Minnesota is about, isn't it?
Well, not exactly. I mean, we'll touch on that, but the workshop in Minnesota is to help people understand the bigger picture about what's going on, because there's a lot of confusion. One person's saying the prophecies of this, one person's saying the prophecies of that, and to explain why it is both and how you can choose where you end up. So you have the power to choose what you're going to experience. So like we say, there is no safe place, only safe DNA. Because your DNA is basically a physical blueprint of your state of consciousness. So buying underground bunkers and hoarding water and food is not necessarily going to get you safe.
Okay, can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, your state of consciousness, like I said, is mirrored in your DNA. As you shift your consciousness into a more compassionate state, and compassion from our perspective is the ability to see all things as having equal value. So in other words, light and dark are both equally valuable. One is not better than the other. They're just different, like chocolate and vanilla ice cream. And you learn how to integrate the dark or the fears that you've been taught around the dark, to begin to use it as a tool, just like you use light as a tool. So at that level, you are back at the in the state of a creator God who realizes he creates his reality, and these are his tools to create it. Right now, we're a 3D human who feels victimized by one tool and running towards the other, always running towards the other, and not realizing that the one they're leaving behind, the dark, is the one that gives them the ability to really feel the other tool, which is the light, because you can't really know the light until you've known the dark. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't know real joy until you've known real sorrow.
Yes.
Okay. So when you reclaim that way of thinking, and when you've elevated yourself to that state where you begin to think like a creator God instead of a victimized 3D human, that's mirrored in your DNA. Because at that level you're beginning to accept things, you're beginning to take responsibility, your DNA is changing. And so the more compassion you have, because compassion is the highest frequency, as I understand, in the universe, because it's a frequency that can nullify all polarity.
Is it a higher frequency than love?
Yes, because it is the neutral point. See, love is one of the two polarities. You have love and you have fear, right? Well, there's a midpoint above them at which neither one exists as a polarity anymore. They're just creation. They're just aspects of creation. They're tools. Does that make sense?
No. Give me more on that.
Okay. Yeah. This is going to be a little. This is like the big eye opener for people. This
okay.
is when you really begin to step up to the next level. Love and fear are two polarities.
Right.
Okay. If you're here to learn to integrate the light and the dark, integration does not mean destroying one or changing it into the other. It means allowing both to coexist and valuing each for what it has to offer.
Okay.
That perspective is a point above the two polarities. That perspective is a perspective of compassion. Because it says light is good, dark is good. Both have value, both have purpose. And one cannot really exist without the other.
Interesting.
At that point, you feel a shift in your body. It's a neutralizing shift. In other words, you don't feel any fear, any tension, or anything. You just feel peace.
Hmm. So
that's synonymous with the void of creation. Out of that, you can create anything.
So your workshop in Bloomington on March 15th and 16th, which is coming up next weekend, right?
Uh-huh.
That it says it's an emotional clearing workshop, correct?
Oh yeah, that one is an emotional clearing workshop.
Yeah.
The one in Minneapolis is the countdown to 2012. In Bloomington,
isn't that Minneapolis?
Huh?
That Bloomington, Minneapolis, Bloomington, Minnesota, right?
No, Bloomington, Illinois.
Okie dokie, that's what.
Yeah, Bloomington, Illinois
okay.
is next week, and it's an emotional clearing workshop. And at that one, I will teach people how to use the formula of compassion. This was a process, a 9-step process, that the Nibiruans gave me to decrypt the 10 junk strand or 10 strands of DNA and help recompile all of them and reactivate them. And for a long time, I didn't understand that until it wasn't until a few years ago that it finally made sense. You see, they were the ones who created the human form. We used to be, like fifth dimensional beings until the fall until after the fall of Atlantis. And because humanity is such an amazing, unique species, we were tapped by many different extraterrestrial groups looking for whatever they were missing. But also, we got caught up in a lot of their conflicts. We were used, in some cases, fodder for many of their war machines. And because we were so naive as a species, we were extremely gifted, but we were very naive. We didn't have the discernment to say no when we needed to say no. And so the Nibiruans, observing all this, they said around 3400 BC, they said, you know what, they're not going to survive if we don't stop this, you know, interference from these other species. And because not everybody out there, you know, honors the prime directive.
Uh-huh.
They think, well, you know, they got our DNA, we have a right, you know. And so they, what they did at the time of the Tower of Babel was they used a virus to change our, to change us completely. And the virus, they talked about it, they scrambled our language, but they had to do that through something, and they used a virus. And, of course, now they're using viruses again to help us recompile our DNA, because chronic fatigue is one of the incurable viruses that's forcing people to make some changes. Very
mm-hmm.
interesting, but we won't go off on that tangent. But anyway.
That's another show, huh?
That's another show. But the the bottom line is they changed our DNA. They disconnected, that virus disconnected 10 of our 12 strands, and that became the junk DNA that, you know, the medical establishment sees today. So they, and from their perspective, they scrambled our DNA, and then they encrypted it so that it could not be recompiled by any other species until the time came that we were spiritually mature enough to have it recompiled. And at that point, you know, we would be able to fulfill our divine destiny. And so they gave me the 9-step process that enables people to recompile their, to decrypt the DNA and recompile it. And when that process works, it activates the thymus at the higher level. And the thymus becomes an incinerator that transmutes anger, shame, guilt, blame, resentment, bitterness, remorse into compassion. That compassion, quantum medicine has now determined, is the one frequency that changes DNA from carbon to crystalline.
Whoa. That's very interesting.
It all works through the thymus.
Really?
So the emotional clearing workshop is where I'm going to be teaching people how to activate the thymus.
Okay.
But the Countdown of 2012 workshop,
and
I that, give them the
let me just, let's get these dates straight for everybody.
Okay.
So so March 15th and 16th is the emotional clearing in Bloomington, Illinois.
Yeah, it's a 2-day workshop.
And you have an introductory lecture Friday night.
Right.
Okay. And then on April 5th and 6th, on Saturday and Sunday, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, is where you're doing your countdown to 2012.
Correct.
Okay, so give us a little bit of an idea of what that's about. So, and ladies and gentlemen, this is all available on Delilah's website, and she's going to give that to you in just a minute, and because we only have a few more minutes, about not even 10 more minutes left, and I want to hear about what your new mission is, because we've got to talk about that. So
okay.
Talk about this workshop so we can promote that.
The Countdown of 2012 workshop is where I give people the bigger picture, the overview of where we are, where we're going, and it begins to make sense of all these somewhat conflicting things that people are out there saying about 2012. My goal is to give people an understanding of what's going to happen so that they don't have to be in fear because, you know, we don't need any more fear.
we don't need more
baggage to have to clear. And so people can have a sense, can have peace of mind. And then when these events that will come along start to happen, they'll go, okay, yeah, I know how to respond to these. And so it eliminates a lot of the stress and the pressure and the fear that just seems to be mounting as we get closer and closer because there's so much confusion around 2012.
Okay.
So that's the purpose of that one, to walk away with peace of mind.
Well, it just seems to me that they both go together.
They do, but you can't do it all in one time.
Yeah.
So I break them up. And I go around, you know, wherever people want me to come and sponsor. I need, like, you know, 15 people, and then I'll do a 2012 workshop for 15 people and do an emotional clearing workshop.
Okay. And so if anybody's out there and this is somebody, that you have a spiritual community and you would like to sponsor Shalila in, that's something that you can look at her website to, or give her a call about. You're like me. I go where I'm invited.
That's right.
You know, if you've got a spiritual community, it's important. You go where you're invited and with what you believe, if what the person believes is best for their community. That's great. So,
right.
So okay. So, what's your new mission?
Tell us
about your new mission.
Okay, the new mission. The new mission is I'm really excited about. My new mission, you know, is to help other teachers. Is to begin to look for people I can work with as a team myself and travel around and, you know, and the whole workshops or little mini conferences or whatever And that's because time is growing short, and many teachers are very tired. They're burning out. They've been doing the work for many, many years. And it's much harder when you're having to carry the full load yourself. But if you can start to work with others, it lightens the load and makes it a lot more fun. So that's one thing. And the other thing is to help teachers with marketing and really getting themselves into a profitable state where they can financially keep going for these next 4 years and beyond. And I feel qualified to do that because I've been very blessed. And Nibiruans, even though they're an off-world species, they're very down to earth. You know, they understand the nuts and bolts of things. And they gave me a marketing plan that at the time made no sense to me back in 1999. I'm like, you have got to be out of your mind. You want me to do this? And they go, oh, yeah, it's going to work out. And I did it. And today, you know, I bought a home by myself. You know, I have money to pay my bills. You know, I've been very, very blessed. And so this marketing plan really works. And it doesn't cost hardly anything to do it. That's the thing. So I want to be able to share with other teachers how to market their work in a way that they don't have to spend a lot of money, but we'll you know, kind of get them fired up and motivated. Because, you know, when the money's coming in, it's easy to be motivated.
Oh, for sure. That's right.
So that's my next thing is to, you know, I will keep sharing the emotional clarity and I'll keep doing the countdown of 2012, but I really want to assist other teachers and share with them what was given to me, which enabled me to fulfill and complete a successful mission.
And are you going to run workshops? Is this individual training?
I don't know how that's going to happen yet.
Okay.
It could be workshops to teach them how to do the marketing. Because you know what? As Mary Kay of Mary Kay Cosmetics always said, you know, she ran a billion-dollar industry.
Right.
She said, nothing happens until somebody sells something. You know, and that's true. Marketing drives your business. I don't care what kind of business it is.
Yep.
Marketing drives the business, and there's a lot of gifted teachers who do not know how to market. That's not their forte.
Sure, that's right.
So they need help.
Well, why don't you give everybody your contact information and so they can get a hold of you, whether they're a teacher or they want to sponsor you to come in to teach, or if they even want to attend some of your workshops. Or you do individual consultations too, right?
Yeah, I do a lot of individual counseling.
And what are those about?
Well, I have three types of counseling sessions I do. The general counseling session is one where people can kind of it's like a status check. Where am I and what do I need to do to get to my next step? And we'll cover personal issues, financial issues, business, you know, it's time to change my career, health issues, and spiritual, what's my purpose, where am I origin, you know, where am I from? Who are my guides, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
That's general. Then I do a DNA recoding, which will give them an ability to figure out where they are in their DNA recoding process if they have now chosen to, you know, do the accelerated DNA recoding process. And DNA recoding is the realignment, reconnection, and activation of the 12 DNA strands. So the Nibiruans are really big on that,
uh-huh.
Obviously. And the other one is a guide communication workshop by phone. It's a three-session workshop by phone in which I teach people how to communicate with their guides. Because, like the Nibiruans, like when I first started, see, I was a blank slate. I didn't know nothing, had never been to any workshops, so I was easy to train. They trained me to communicate with them. And you know, like they said, everybody's got the equipment. They just don't remember how to use it because that information has been withheld. So I can teach someone how to communicate and have them communicating with their guides in 3 hours.
Okay.
And I think people, more and more people need to be able to communicate to get better guidance, you know, so they're not running around like, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? It
and
will help
so
with their
emotional
parents.
And so when you teach somebody how to connect with their guidance, are you teaching them how to hear them, how to work with them?
Actually talk to them.
Talk to them.
Oh,
have
yeah.
Conversation
talking,
with, have conversations with them.
Huh?
Have conversations with them.
Yeah, it will start out simple, but then it will develop. Now, some people, they really fly, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like they can do it really easy. They just don't realize they're doing it.
And they can do it consciously?
Yeah, absolutely. See, it was never meant to be difficult.
Right.
It was never meant to be complicated, but, you know, humans, they'll find a way to complicate it if they can. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had people who for years have been to all kinds of workshops for channeling and whatever, and all they see is blackness. And when I get done with them in 3 hours, they can see something. they're doing it.
Well, that's so great. That's great.
It's so exciting when they actually first communicate. It's like, woo! I felt that one.
Yeah, that feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It feels good for the teacher when a student has an aha moment.
Yeah.
It feels real good for the teacher. Okay, so give your contact information, please.
Okay, my website is, you have to write this one out, NibiruanCouncil.com. It's spelled N as in Nancy, I, B as in boy, I, R, U, A, N as in Nancy, Council, which is CouncilCom. So it's all together, NibiruanCouncil.com. But if you go and you Google Nibiru, N-I-B-I-R, or, you know, I'll usually come up. My website will come up. Or Jalayla Starr, J-E-L-A-I-L-A, Starr with two R's. And it'll come up.
And your phone number?
My number is 913-599-6222.
Okay. All right. Well, ladies, first of all, thank you for so much for coming. I just want to... let me give you my information. It's 216-691-1233 is my personal phone number if you want to get a hold of me, if you're interested in the Akashic Records. Next week, you guys are my guests. You can call in with your questions. No one called in because we were talking they probably didn't want to break the flow, you know.
Yeah.
We were doing such a good job. And we got to have you on again because this is really interesting stuff. And so give us both of us a call or one of us a call or whoever you're drawn to. This program is about information and sharing light for all of you to see more about who you are. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, you're so welcome.
This is just great. And if I get, if people can email you questions if they have them.
Yeah.
And just go to your website and they can get that contact information, right?
Right.
And again, my Jalayla Starr's information will be on the my website for the BBS Radio. And we want to thank you so much, all of you, for listening. We're going to close the records now of the Akashic Wisdom Radio Show for tonight on March. What's today? Today is March 9th, 2008. We want to say thank you to the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask that everyone's heart be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you all truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed, and if you'll all join me in saying amen. And we want you to have a wonderful, love-filled week, full of light and compassion. And give Jalayla a call. And have a great week. And talk to you next week. Email your questions. I love you guys. Bye.